We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, Redemption Church. How you doing? It's a cold day in Plano, Texas, isn't it? Woke up, it was about 22 degrees, the thermometer outside my kitchen window. Thank you for braving the cold weather to come out and worship the Lord with us. Thank you so much. I'm happy about it. Hello to everyone watching, listening online. We're going to receive the Word of God together. We're in the middle of a sermon series. Somebody shout out, what's the name of this sermon series? The name of this series is Game Changer. We all want to win, right? But sometimes the game gets away from us. Like, I don't know, who won the NFC Championship game today? Nobody knows. That's how into Jesus everyone is. All right. Who cares? That's the answer, right? Sometimes you look at the fourth quarter scoreboard and it doesn't look like you want it to look, right? You're down with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. That's when you need a game changer. What is a game changer? It's a play that changes the momentum and ultimately the outcome of the game. In the year 2019, I think we could all use a game changer. In the last 2 weeks, we told you that serving is a game changer. If you want to be successful in 2019, then you need to call this game changing play, go serve people, serve them. Last Sunday, we told you that perseverance is a game changer, right? Did we tell you that? There are times when life hits you right in the face. You know what you do in football when somebody hits you right in the face? You go back to the huddle. You figure out the next play, and you go right back out there, and you try to hit them in the face. That's how football works, right? You have to get back up and try again. Every successful person ever has learned perseverance. Our example, each week we've given you, like, examples, secular examples of game changers. And today our example is Martin Luther King Jr. Tomorrow is MLK Day. We love to celebrate MLK. We love Martin Luther King Jr. It's a day to honor the service of Dr. King, and we would like to honor his work here tonight. Can we do that for just a moment? The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due, and I think the Reverend Martin Luther King could use some honor. MLK was a game changer. Would you agree? Oh, absolutely. An American Christian minister and social activist who was the most visible spokesperson and leader of the civil rights movement. Although our nation had ended a civil war and freed people of color from slavery, there was still a huge divide in our nation. Huge. And in the middle of that divide, Martin Luther King Jr. stood up and he changed everything. King advanced civil rights through nonviolent tactics. Say nonviolent tactics. Where do you think he got that idea? He got that idea from the Bible. He got that idea from Christ. Large groups of people are known to get violent very quickly. Right? Absolutely. Have you ever been in a large group of people and it got violent? It gets really scary really quickly. Black Friday. I mean, people are out just to buy a large screen TV, and the next thing you know, people are getting trampled, right? I mean, it's not like people are even out to squabble or to like throw a punch, but it's large groups of people are scary stuff. Well, King gathered large groups of people and they did peaceful acts. And that's a great example. The world still needs to look to that example. I'm all for gathering great big groups of people, but don't let that become violent. Let peace ring out. All right? Let peaceful, nonviolent protest ring out. That's a lesson the world could still use today. He gathered large groups of men and women who felt abused. Yes. Who felt forgotten. People who actually had anger about past events and even current events. These conditions and this situation, it would not have taken much maybe to rile up a group of people to violence. It would be so easy for such a group of people to turn into an angry mob. Yet King stood up and he encouraged peace. He encouraged love, and at the same time, he encouraged change. You can do all three of those things at the same time. We're maybe living in a day and age that said, no, you got to get angry and you got to go to war to make change. Dr. Martin Luther King would stand up today and say, not so. And the Lord Jesus Christ would stand up today and say, not so. He is the Prince of Peace. Did he bring change? There is no greater love than this, than Jesus Christ on the cross. Did he bring change? The world needs to know how to really bring change. It's not through violence. It's not through the weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not of this world. They are mighty, but they're mighty in a different way. They don't pull down people. They pull down the strongholds that have been attacking the people. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is an enemy, a spiritual enemy, and instead of hitting your brother right in the face, you have a weapon of love, a weapon of peace that hits the enemy behind the brother. And you hit him in the face and he doesn't like it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And guess what? There was a stronghold in our nation that the doctor, Martin Luther King Jr., helped pull down. In 1955, King led a bus boycott. December 5th, 1955, following the arrest of a lady named Rosa Parks. Very good. She simply refused to give up her seat on a bus. She got arrested for it. That was on December 5th, 1955. A year and 15 days later, December 20th, 1956, after a lot of work from a lot of people in the civil rights movement, the Supreme Court declared segregated buses unconstitutional. Dr. Martin Luther King was a game changer. He brought change that was largely considered impossible. People said, no, it'll never work. This is part of the problem. I just want to speak real quick because does racism still exist? Absolutely. Is it still a problem? Absolutely. But I refuse to hear the voice that says it has never been worse than it is right now. That is wrong. You need to look at some context because we used to could not drink from the same water fountains. And we used to could not sit in the same seats on a bus. Are you kidding me? It's not worse than it's ever been. You got to get a little context to it. Now, there's change that still needs to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen through love, and it's going to happen through peace. But Dr. Martin Luther King and many before us have done a wonderful job. They did a big job. They were game changers. Do you agree? King, he brought change that was largely considered impossible. He made America a better place. Say amen. He made the world a better place. Say amen. I'll say amen to this next one. He made us all better people. Thank you, Dr. King. Can we clap our hands for, I believe he's with the Lord right now. Thank you, doctor. In 1963, he helped organize the March on Washington, the National Mall. That's the location where all the presidents are inaugurated. It's lots of marches happen there. More than 200,000. Some people think the upwards of 300,000 people gathered, and they all gathered for one purpose, to call an end to racism. It was at this march, standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, that King gave the speech that everyone knows by name. That speech is named the I Have a Dream speech. This speech, one speech, changed the world. One speech made people that were kind of on the fence about racism, it made them decide. It made them have to rethink it. It made them listen. It made them change. It's a short speech, and I want to remember a part of it with you today. Is this okay? Can you let me remember part of this speech? I say to you today, my friends, that in spite of the difficulties and frustrations of the moment, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a desert state sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day the state of Alabama, whose governor's lips are presently dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, will be transformed into a situation where little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls and walk together as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain made low. The rough places will be plowed plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Are those some powerful words? What's that one phrase that keeps showing up over and over again? I have a dream. Somebody say, I have a dream. King was a game changer. He changed the way people thought, the way people viewed others, and even the way they viewed themselves. While there are many game-changing plays we could call to your attention today, we are going to focus on this one. Here it is. Dreams are a game changer. Look at somebody, say, dreams are a game changer. What is a dream? It's a hopeful idea. It's an aspiration. It's an ambition. The thought to do something important. You ever have a thought to do something important? That's a dream. The thought that one day we will see peace in our world. We'll see something great come about. That is a dream. The idea or ambition to better your life. That is a dream. Dreams can change the world. I want to give you three very simple principles for changing the world with a dream. Number one, dreams create. Look at somebody, say, dreams create. I want you to know that dreams are not just this swirly spiritual thing that is hard to grasp. Dreams are not just a random synapse in your brain and then it just disappears into the ether. Dreams are so much more than that. Dreams create. They create a brand new reality. Dreams are that powerful. When King spoke about the dream of a little black boy, little black girl playing with a little white boy and a little white girl, those worlds didn't just disappear into space. See, that's what happens in the physical, right? You put out something, energy just goes on into the universe and it just continues everywhere and it just goes somewhere. We don't even know. But no, this didn't just disappear. He gave a dream. He gave an idea. He gave an ambition. And it went out there and it hit a heart and it hit another heart. And one person heard it and told it to another person. And then that dream started living in the hearts of person after person. And it created a brand new reality. That's the power of a dream. Those words that created, that dream created a new reality. It caused people to envision that reality and consider that it was possible, that it was beautiful, and that it was actually better. King did something so powerful. He created a new reality with that dream. Here's what also he did. He spoke to people's dreams. You need to learn to speak to people's dreams. Number one, you got to know other people have dreams. That means that it's not just about your dream. All right, is that okay? It's not just about your dream. You're not the only person with dreams. You're not the only person with an idea. You're not the only person with plans. Other people have husbands, wives, Your spouse has dreams. Your children have dreams. The person sitting next to you has a calling. They have something important that God has purpose for them to do. Everybody has a dream. If you really want to be successful in life, be a game changer, change people and be elevated as a leader of people, you need to learn to figure out what other people's dreams are and then speak to those dreams. Have you ever seen somebody and go, whoa, they are super talented at that? Here's what a lot of people do. They notice that they're talented at that, but then they don't speak to that talent. Are you with me? Oh, you've seen that person. Let's just talk about Leroy. Leroy is so stinking talented. He almost makes me sick. I love him. I'm so glad he's using his talents here. Aren't you glad about that? You see that passion, you see that energy, you see that talent. How many of you have noticed that talent? Raise your hand. Now, put your hands out. I'm not going to tell you to raise your hand on this one, but I'm going to ask you, how many of you have embraced his talent enough to go talk to him about it? Not enough. You see, we notice these things, but then we stop short of actually speaking to people's dreams, speaking to people's callings. There are so many little boys and little girls who have been messed up in life because their dad never spoke to their dream, never spoke to their talent or their ability. Don't be like that. Redemption Church, can we be a church that notices the skill of those around us, believes that they are called for more, and be willing, be energetic, be bold enough to walk up and say, hey, you're really good at that. What are you going to do with that skill? And then just wait. And then this is the most important part. You listen. And when they tell you how they're going to use that skill, you say, how can I help you? There are so many talented people. I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of Vicki Skinner, who already has a second book coming out. You go, girl. I'm so proud of you. I mean, I'd never tell you that to your face. That's an inside joke. No, I'm so proud of her. And if I can speak to her dream, I want to. I want to embrace it. If anything, I'm saying, no, you aren't thinking big enough. You've got more that God can use you in. Everyone in this house, I want to speak to your dream. You need your dream spoken to. I'll never forget one of the first times someone spoke to my dream of doing music. It changed me forever. It changed me forever. It's powerful. You want to be influential, learn to recognize the dreams of those around you and then speak to those dreams. Encourage the dreams of the people around you. It's real simple, yet we don't do it. I'm sure everyone understands the power of this, yet I'm sure you would also agree that there's not near enough of this in the world today. I would love Redemption Church to be that place where dreams are encouraged. You know what? This altar, we always come to the altar at the end of the service, and we open it. This first 2 feet, it's a place of ministry. If you are seeking a dream, come into the first 2 feet. If you want encouragement in your calling, come into the first 2 feet. You're working really hard and you're not seeing everything you want, come into the first 2 feet. We'll pray over that. We'll see. That is something that, the first 2 feet of an altar are not just for the person that's just a no good sinner. Right? It's for the people that want more. It's the people that are hungry. It's the people that want to see God do more. So be that person. You can come up to the first 2 feet of this altar. Is that okay? Is that all right? Thank you, Clyde Fluitt. I think it would be so beautiful, a beautiful faith-filled community that breathes life into the dreams of others. I want us to be that. If you will learn the dreams of those around you, if you will encourage these dreams and help bring these dreams to pass, you will then be an indispensable commodity. In other words, be an encourager, and nobody's ever going to want to get rid of you. Right? You've all known the person in your job that's not an encourager. Nobody's going to cry when they move on from that job. Right? But the person that's an encourager, Oh my goodness, let's promote that person. We need that person around. There are some powerful scriptural examples of encourager. One comes to mind, Barnabas. You ever want to see an encourager? Look at the story of Barnabas in scripture. We don't have time to talk about it today, but we said dreams create, and you need to speak to the dreams of people. That's what the Dr. Martin Luther King did. And then here's the third thing. God gives dreams. God gives them. Why are we talking about dreams today? Because the Father who is in heaven gives dreams. The dream that King was not just, he was not just delivering a political statement or a social movement. The dream that he was giving was not just a slight incremental improvement over the way we were living to ease the suffering of a demographic. It was so much more than that. This dream was more than just King's dream. It was God's will. It was God's will. It was what God was willing to have happen on the earth. Your dream, your desire, your idea, it could be from heaven. Do you believe that about your desire? Do you believe that about your dream? It could be from heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. Not every dream is from heaven. Not every desire is from heaven. But I want you to consider real quick, your desire is not to go out and hurt people. Your desire is to do something beautiful. Your desire is to help people. Your desire is to see people come to know Jesus. Your desire is to raise strong, healthy families. Your desire is to feed the hungry. If your desire is that, I got news for you. That dream is from heaven. That's where that came from. That was not from Satan. All right? It was from heaven. As Jesus said, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not enough for heaven to have a will. God, our Father, wants his will done on earth. And he puts that dream into the very hearts of people to fulfill that dream, that will, that desire, that idea. The idea of justice, that's God's will. The ambition to peacefully influence change in the world, that's God's will. The dream that people will one day look past skin color and simply love each other, that is God's will. Do you realize how precious dreams are? Some dreams come straight from heaven. Dreams are a game changer. As we have said repeatedly in the series, the best game-changing plays come straight from the Word of God. So quickly, let's touch a few verses of Scripture about dreams. It talks about your desires. The Bible talks about that as dreams. Psalm 37 and 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart if you will just simply commit to him. That was a game-changing verse for me. Wait a second. I thought all I did was do what God wanted. God says, if you will commit to me, I'll do the things that you want. I'll give you the desires of your heart. The Bible talks about your calling, that God has a calling on your life, a not yet seen reality. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That God has given you a calling. Now try to live out worthily that calling. Does that sound like a dream? Does that sound like an ambition and a promise? Absolutely. The Bible also talks about your hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? The word hope here means an expectation of good. It basically is a hopeful wish or a hopeful dream, if you will. Your salvation is a hopeful expectation. It is not completely fulfilled yet. News to you, you are not in heaven yet. You're promised heaven. heaven's in front of you, but heaven, your hope of salvation, is still an expectation of good that's in front of you. You following me? And then it says this, hope that is seen is no hope at all, because who hopes for what they already have? Does this make sense? You see, you hope and dream for the things you do not have. Before Christmas, the Fluitt family, the little boys were hoping for what was under the tree. They were hoping for certain toys. And they had these toys out there, and they would talk about it all the time. I hope I get that toy. I hope I get that toy. And, of course, I'm sitting here with knowledge. Yep, it's under the tree, but I'm not going to say anything. We're just going to have to see what's in those packages, right? But they're hoping for those things. Guess what happens? They rip open those packages. They look inside. They receive the joy that they have the thing that they were hoping for. And the next day, as they're playing with that toy, they start hoping for the next toy. Wait a second. You mean the little laptop you got, you're still not hoping for a laptop? No, he's not hoping for a laptop. He has the laptop. Once he has the laptop, he's now hoping for the next thing. You see, that's how hope works. That's how dreams work. And when you complete a dream, when you complete an assignment, when you complete an ambition, guess what comes next? A new hope, a new ambition, a new calling. This is how it works. Do you follow me? It is built within us to dream, to hope for the things that we do not have. You should never be done dreaming and hoping. Once one thing comes to pass, you're looking for the next thing. I got to tell you, church, we need to start dreaming about saving souls. We need to start dreaming about people going down in a baptismal take and coming up a brand new person. We need to start dreaming. We need to start longing to see people filled with His Spirit right here. And once it happens, we need to start dreaming about the next one. We need to start hoping for the next one. We need to start longing in our heart. God, send us the next one. Send us the next one. Send us the next one, because you are never done dreaming. Once you have accomplished a hope, within your heart will start hoping towards a new accomplishment. I would say that this is God at work within us, because love always hopes. He's always giving us a brand new hope and a brand new longing. Romans 8:25, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the next verse. Some of us don't like this verse so much. An unfulfilled dream requires patience. Sometimes we are great at dreaming, but we are not skilled at patiently waiting for the fulfillment. Y'all don't have to amen me. I know I'm right. The fulfillment of the dream is so valuable, right? Woohoo! Party. Let's bring out a cake and put up a banner. We did it. Mission accomplished. It's done. But often overlooked is how working toward the dream fulfillment will bring change to who you are. It brings patience and humility to you. It brings wisdom and skill to you. The fulfilled dream is valuable, but so is the change that occurs within as you work and you wait patiently for the dream. Nobody throws a party for the waiting. Everyone throws a party when the baby's born, right? I mean, there's some baby showers, but you should be at those. But no, you should not be at those baby showers. It's a terrible, terrible place to be. But no, everybody's there. Oh, I can't wait for the baby to be here. I can't wait for the baby here. Everybody's talking about the baby. And it's just this thing. Everybody celebrates hugely when the baby's here. Everybody celebrates hugely when the book is done and sitting on the shelf. Vicky, no one throws a party at, hey, you wrote 20 pages today. Way to go. Bah, bah. Ticker tape falling down, confetti. She worked hard today, right? No one throws a party at that. But you know what? Oftentimes that's where the real powerful transformation happens, because she's working hard. She's patiently going about it. She's learning humility. She's learning and crafting her skill. I want to tell you, you need to start celebrating the waiting. You need to start celebrating that in-between time, because that's where you grow as a person. People want to hear you play or sing. They never want to hear you practice. But I would tell you, it would be the worst thing. Like, you'd be in the practice room at the university, and you'd be practicing, and you aren't sounding your best. You're not trying to sound your best. You're trying to be your best. You're trying to push yourself to that razor edge of where you will mess up, but you hold it together. And that's where you get better. The worst thing that could ever happen is for somebody to knock on your door and say, "Hey, I want to hear you play." No, you don't want to hear me play right now. I'm practicing. This is not for you to hear. This is the grind. This is where I don't try to sound good. This is where I try to be faster. This is where I'm not trying to impress you. We're not going to throw a banner over this. I am working hard at something, so when I leave this room, I am a better musician. Nobody ever wants to hear that. You got to learn how to celebrate your patience, celebrate your hard work and the struggle. If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Here's the next thing the Bible says. It talks about plans. You know some verses about that. Here's one. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plan. Do you notice that it says your plan? God knows your plans, and if you commit to the Lord, he will establish your plan. God is not against your plan. It took me way too long in life to figure that out. God is for you. He is for your plan. There have been times in life where I'm like, "God, what are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm waiting on you to work your plan so I can get behind it." You have your plan, but Scripture also talks about God's plan. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Dreams are a game changer. I want you to know that it is spiritual to dream. It is God's will for you to dream of a better, not yet realized reality. There is a faith aspect to dreaming. Think about it. It is not yet realized, yet I am still believing in it, and I'm still working for it. Does that sound like faith? It's not yet seen. It's not yet experienced, but I believe maybe tomorrow I'll have it. Dreaming is a very visual thing. We visualize our dream home, don't we? Raise your hand if you know what your dream home looks like in your head, right? Right? My goodness, Pinterest is going to be the death of me. Sarah's always got a brand new dream home just every time she looks at Pinterest. We picture what our future life will consist of. We picture that. Sometimes we imagine the kind of life that we're going to have. We imagine what it'll be like to be a parent. We imagine what it'll be like to have that job. We see these things in our dream before they are physical realities. So I want to quickly inspire you to pray in this same way. You're dreaming about something that doesn't yet appear in front of you. You do that when you're praying. So let yourself visualize it as a way of faith. And I've done this, but we're going to practice for a second. So just praying for somebody's relationship. And I just close my eyes and I just picture them like there's this couple they've been fighting, right? And I'm just, "God, Lord, let them be in that room and let that wall that's between them, let that wall come down. Let them realize that they are perfect for each other and that they need to forgive each other and that they're better off. Lord, let tears of forgiveness flow. Let them love each other as you are loving them. And I'm picturing them. I'm starting to picture these people. I'm not telling you who these people are, but these are real people I'm praying for right now. And I'm imagining this conversation. And I'm imagining one day, now they are way past this. And God, they're giving you all the glory to the very fact that now they're talking to another couple about their marriage problems and they're testifying to them. See how I just imagine that? Can you imagine your prayer for health? I'm going to name this one. We've got Ron's wife, Ruby, right now. She's got cancer cells in her body. Can you imagine with me inside her body? God, you see each one of those cancer cells. And God, you've got power over those cancer cells. Lord, I pray right now that the very hand of God would reach into that body and remove those cancer cells, that they would be gone. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the doctor can't find them anymore. I pray that the doctor would be just blown away. I pray that Ruby's grandchildren hear about those cancer cells being gone. And I pray, Lord, I'm imagining them walking through that door, imagining them listen to Ruby give her testimony. I'm imagining them cry out to you and being thankful for you. I'm imagining it. I believe it. I don't yet see it, but I know you've got the power to do it in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, in Jesus' name. You can pray for situations that you could never influence in the physical. Let's pray for Beirut, Lebanon. We've got some missionaries there. We got the Hadabal family. Oh, there are all kinds of people. Lord, I pray, Lord, I'm imagining them in their little home right there, and it is filled with people at a small group meeting, at a leadership Bible study, and he is leading new converts. I pray right now that you're protecting that family, that you're lifting them up, that those children, God, that they have a calling on their life. Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm imagining their two children to just even do more than Matt and Julie ever thought about in the kingdom of God. I pray, Lord, that a youth revival would come out of those children. I'm seeing it right now. That children that they're going to school with, that they're speaking with, that they're playing with, that they would end up at church and those kids would pray for them and lead them through repentance and see them baptized and see them filled with the Spirit. And I pray for all those Syrian refugees. I'm just seeing them come in one after another. I'm seeing a Muslim man. I'm seeing a Muslim woman. I'm seeing them come in and I'm seeing them learn about Jesus and they're going, wait, I didn't know that Jesus loved me like that. I didn't know that God could love me like that. And they're crying and they don't even know why. But then they lay hands on them and those people are filled with the Spirit right then and there. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. We have not yet seen it, but we're believing in it and we're claiming it in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you to use your imagination. God gave you an imagination. You can use your imagination for evil. Could talk about scripture about casting down imaginations. We could talk about bringing every thought into captivity. But here's something. God has given you the power to imagine. And I would tell you it's a spiritual thing. Could you take your prayer life to a place where you are picturing it? That's faith. That's faith. You know what it is? It's childlike faith. Kids love to imagine. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, as it is written, I have made you father of many nations. Speaking about Abraham. He is our father. Read these next few words with me. In the sight of God. Say that. In the sight of God. He is our Father. What? In the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead. Say it. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Say that. And calls into being things that are not. This is such a powerful verse. God calls Abraham the father of many nations, yet he calls him this at a time when he doesn't have a single son. He definitely doesn't have a nation. He doesn't even have a son. And God comes in and says, you are. I have made you the father of many nations. Before he is even a father, God sees him as the father of many nations. In that moment, in the natural, he's the father of nothing. But in the sight of God, he was already the father of many nations, even our father. You see, you're included in that. In God's eyes, he's not only the father of many nations, he's already including you. Stick with me. I don't know completely how to explain this, but I believe that sometimes we receive a dream and it is not our mind at work. It's not our brain function mechanisms at work, but we are actually receiving the sight of God, like this verse says, in the sight of God. Abraham received the words in that moment, yet saw no son. Yet God, who was not bound by time, when he speaks the word, he already saw Isaac. He already saw Jacob and all of Israel's sons. He saw David. He saw Solomon. He saw Jesus. And he saw you. The fulfillment of your dream is already in God's sight. You don't see it. But that's not near as important as this. God, do you see it? Because God, if you see it and you're calling me into it, I'm as good as gold. I'm going to believe it. I am going to believe in you. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that are not. In a moment, we're going to spend time talking to God. I want you to spend some time dreaming. I want you to pray in such a way that calls things that don't exist into being, just like your Father who is in heaven. I want you to spend some time praying in such a way that brings life into things that are dead. If you feel like your marriage is going down, speak life into it. If you feel like your finances are on their last legs, you need to call things that are not as though they are. That's faith, and it's also dreams. Just that powerful. My children have no problem asking me for things that don't exist. Daddy, can I have a dollar? I don't have a dollar. I have a debit card. Like, that's why I have a debit card and not a dollar. But they'll ask for things that I can make happen. They'll ask for something that doesn't exist on my person, and I'll actually go out and I'll get that thing. In a moment, we're going to spend time talking to God, and I want you to spend some time dreaming. I want you to start imagining God at work in your life in such a powerful way that it not only affects you, it affects everyone that knows you. Before you come, I want to tell you a story about my dad when he was about 9 or 10 years old. Everyone say, hi, Clyde Fluitt. I'm so glad he could be here today all the way from Waco. Can you give him a hand? Hey, he's a real good dad. I'm thankful for him. In my dad's house growing up was an atlas. You know what an atlas is? It's a book of maps. And Clyde Fluitt would get this book of maps and study the different countries. See, people back then, we look at like the older generation, like they don't know anything because they don't know how to use a cell phone. They know how to use a map. Leave them alone. They don't need Google Maps to talk to them. They got books they can read. All right, sorry. Often as he studied the countries, he would trace the countries with his little finger. Can you get your little finger out? And he's looking. And wherever his finger goes, he's looking at that place, and he starts to imagine. His finger would travel down North America. Are you imagining with me? Through Mexico, Guatemala, and El Salvador. And his eyes are seeing the map and his finger travel across the page. Yet in his mind, he starts to imagine people in those areas. He can't see those people, But in his mind, he can see those people. He's imagining. He starts to say in his mind, you know what? People in this small little village, they need Jesus. I'm so glad I know Jesus. They need Jesus. And he starts thinking about those people. And he starts thinking they need someone to come tell them about Jesus. And he continues down into South America, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru. His finger would stop on small villages, and he would imagine those people being so happy when they get saved by Jesus. He's picturing them. They're weeping. Some are jumping. Some are just so happy. He's picturing it. He's seeing it. He would picture little churches being built. He would picture missionaries coming on boats. And he would start picturing the people praying and being so thankful. He would move his little finger and just dream. And then he came to the Amazon River, and his finger just traced the Amazon River with his finger and traveled with it in his mind, in his imagination. The village right here, he said, that's where the church is going to start. And then it's going to spread to this village right here. And that village is going to be next. And then there's going to be villages with churches all up and down the Amazon. Everyone on this Amazon River is going to hear about my Jesus. It was just kid stuff, he thought later. Until one day a missionary came to church decades later who remembers old projector screens. Well, this missionary came with a projector, and Clyde Fluitt, who is in his 30s now, sees this missionary with a projection of the Amazon River on the side of a church wall. And that missionary walks over with his finger and says, it started here. This is where we first planted a church. And it was so excited. It wasn't very long till we had a church just right here. And then we had a church here. And then it wasn't long. At the end of, before I left, we had a church all up and down every village of that Amazon. And right then and right there, my dad's memory was thrown back to his finger and that little atlas and his little imagination about Jesus Christ. And he said, God, you were reading my little boy mind. You were paying attention to my little boy imagination. That little boy was operating in a dream-like faith. Dreams are a game changer. Church, when was the last time we just dreamt about Jesus saving Plano, Texas? When was the last time we dreamt about a drug addict walking through those doors, fighting conviction the whole service, and then can't bear it any longer? He comes up here and gives his heart to Jesus Christ. When was the last time we imagined with a childlike faith? There is a place in prayer you can go where the Spirit intercedes. It's no longer about you interceding. It's actually the Spirit at work, and the Spirit is giving intercession. I want to tell you that your faith can move mountains, and your dreams can be faith-filled. They can be hope-filled. Can you dream today? Are you done dreaming today? We're going to come talk to God. And right now, I want to tell you, I'm looking out here. You all know what's going on. I want to tell you, you don't have to wait for me to stop talking. Why don't you come talk to God right now in this place? I want you to come dream in this altar. I want you to come visualize what you are praying over. Some of you need to come to this altar today because when I was talking, you felt the call of God on your life. You need to do something with that right now in this moment. Don't let this moment pass you by. And some of you, you need to come into the first 2 feet today because you're really dealing with an issue. And I want you to come here and I want you to imagine with me. I want you to dream about what God is doing. Some of you have been resisting the call of God on your life. Come on, why don't you be done with that? Why don't you come and receive that calling fully in your life right now in Jesus' name. Everyone listening, watching online, everyone in this room right now, I'm praying for you. Father, in Jesus' name, come, move in us, God. Lord, come us, give us a godly vision. God, come and fill our eyes, fill our minds with godly thoughts, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, let us be faith-filled, God. Lord, there is a picture you've been giving someone. God, let them walk into that picture right now. Let them trust you, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, let us be people that speak things that are not as though they are. Let us be people that speak life into dead things right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Come on, let's talk to God in this house as we're going to worship. I want you to just reach out to Jesus. I want you to imagine Jesus doing the impossible in you. I want you to imagine Jesus using you to bring your children to Jesus. I want you to imagine Jesus using you in brand new ways. Come on, let's do it right now in this house in Jesus' name. Thank you,
Lord. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.